This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Florida's iconic citrus industry increasingly relies on guest workers, people living and working in the United States on short-term contracts under a unique visa program that sends them back to their home country after working on U.S. farms and fields. In the second half of our show, we'll talk with an anthropologist who's spent months talking with these workers and the head of labor for a large group of Florida growers about what the guest worker program is and the role that it plays in the future of Florida farming. But first, voting is a right that comes with democracy, and it's a bedrock of American values. It's something American soldiers have fought and died for on our soil and abroad. But it only works if people participate. And in Florida, a disappointingly low number of people have gone to the trouble to even register to vote, much less actually go to the polls. Just over 4.5 million people in Florida who are eligible to vote have not registered. There are also 1 million registered voters on the rolls in Florida who are considered problematic. Those are people who have either moved and remained registered in more than one place, people who have died, or who have changed their name. All of this is according to the Electronic Registration Information Center, which goes by ERIC. It's a consortium of 20 states that share voter registration data. And sharing this information is something that allows ERIC to track movement between states and to help clean voting rolls of duplicate or deceased registrants. Here to talk about this data sharing and how it keeps our voter rolls clean, we have Jennifer Edwards, who is the Collier County Supervisor of Elections, and we also have Tommy Doyle, who is Supervisor of Elections in Lee County. Thank you both for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Part of the ERIC program is that states that participate are expected to do voter outreach to get more people registered, and that's exactly what our next guest does. Rafael Lopez is the president of the Hispanic Vote, which is a nonpartisan initiative that covers the whole state of Florida. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We are talking about low voter registration numbers in Florida and about how supervisors of elections are able to keep voting rolls clean. Do you have a comment or a question? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. First, Tommy Doyle with Lee County. You're new to the job. Congratulations. Were you surprised at the data that came out of this ERIC study?
Yes, I don't know where they got those numbers because it doesn't relate to Lee County.
Oh, okay. So, well, they're talking about statewide. Those are their numbers. So how does Lee County stack up?
Well, Lee County has nearly 70% of the population registered to vote.
70%
is
registered. So how many eligible unregistered voters do we have? That would leave us with what?
Oh,
30?
I'm not quite sure.
So, you're saying that 70%
of Lee County voters
who are eligible are registered.
Yes.
So, and then in Collier County, Jennifer Edwards, do you know what the numbers are in Collier?
Well, we have about 66% of our eligible voters registered to vote. We've got about 200. I'm trying to read my numbers here. We've got 191,000 registered voters in Collier County. So comparing that to the population, we've got about 66% registered to vote.
So the data coming out of ERIC is saying that one in four is not registered.
So that's statewide.
In this state. Right. Yeah, statewide. It's kind of almost comparable. So you oversee elections in Collier County, but we have a lot of transient homeowners here. So there are people that have a part-time here and part-time up north. Do you have a hard time tracking when a person registers here versus their home up north?
We don't have any way to track that. We rely on the truthfulness of the voters. But if we know that a voter has let me turn it around and say that when someone registers with us and they tell us where they were last registered, we indeed contact that jurisdiction and tell them that we now have their voter. And sometimes we get that same communication from other jurisdictions, which is other states. Now, locally in the state voter registration system, we all see that data. We know that if our voters move up to Tommy's County, then Tommy's voter registration staff will pull that voter into his county and add them to their list.
So between counties within Florida, it's a little easier to track?
Correct.
But in interstate, when you have an interstate move, it's a little bit more difficult.
It's very difficult because it's up to the voter to share that information with us. And if they don't, we don't know.
And there's an incentive to people that want to have their second home in Florida that are wanting to claim homestead exemption and that want to be considered a Florida resident because of the state income tax situation. They would want to be a voter here in Florida. But as a result of that, do you end up having a lot of absentee ballots, people that spend not as much time here?
Well, I don't think being registered to vote is a criteria to get your homestead exemption. But we do. We call them, you know, our snowbirds. We have a lot of residents that go back up north to their homes during the summer months, and especially for the primary election, which occurs in August, we get a large number of requests.
Mm-hmm. And Tommy, do you have a lot of absentee ballots that you're dealing with in Lee County?
We have many, but we don't call them absentee ballots anymore.
Oh, what are they called now?
Vote by mail.
Oh,
because anybody can vote by mail without any reason. You can request a ballot and you can vote by mail. So we were probably the highest in the state processing vote by mail ballots in 2016, around 150,000.
I wonder if that's because people were actually absent or because it was just more convenient.
More convenient. It's easy to vote by mail. And after the 2012 election, everybody was afraid to go to the polls.
Oh, because of
the long lines.
Long lines. Yeah, that was a long line. I remember that one.
Yeah.
I waited in it myself. So, Rafael Lopez, you work year-round trying to get Hispanic voters involved in the democratic process through the nonpartisan group called the Hispanic Vote. Your organization covers the whole state. So how does Southwest Florida stack up when compared with other parts of the state as far as Hispanic vote involvement?
Well, you have to – if you look at the Southeast Florida, obviously that's where the majority of the Hispanics are. Lee County, I'm not familiar with Collier, but Lee County, basically 9 or 10% of the Hispanic residents are registered to vote. So that's a small percentage, where compared to Dade County, you know, 65% Hispanic registered voters.
Wow. So, yeah, just looking straight at the percentages, that is a pretty low percentage.
Correct. Yeah. So you're looking at areas like, for example, it depends on the economic situation in other countries, Puerto Rico, Venezuela, different countries, where you're seeing a large influx of Puerto Ricans going to the Hillsborough, Orange County area because of what's happening in Puerto Rico now. The situation in Venezuela, you're seeing an influx of Venezuelans moving. We have some in Lee County, but the majority are going into the southeast part, Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County.
But they're getting involved in the electoral process.
Some, yes. Some
well, the 65% is pretty good. That's kind of on track with what Collier County is reporting
right.
as
yeah.
far as
– Yeah, well, that's Hispanic. 65% are the population. The percentage is up there also.
Okay.
Yeah, I misspoke when I said that.
Oh, okay.
In Collier County, 10% of our registered voters are Hispanic.
10%?
10%. So that's a little over 20,000.
And I wonder what percent of the population in Collier County is Hispanic.
I don't know that.
That would
right
be a correlation
now.
To yeah. probably draw mm-hmm. if we wanted to really analyze
this. In the past, it was around 26%, but I haven't looked at that recently.
Oh, okay. And I wanted to ask, what kind of things do you do to try to get the Hispanic voters involved?
Just basically, you know, Hispanics, you hear all the time that Hispanic population is not monolithic. They're very issues driven. The thing about Hispanics is that we're not a race. We're not a religion. We're basically a group of individuals, and they come from the Caribbean, South America, Central America, Europe.
Yeah, so, Venezuelan is not a Puerto Rican.
They're
not the same.
Exactly. So you have 22 Hispanic countries around the world, and they're all different. So when they come to this country, you know, one of the biggest issues that we have is depending on what country they come from, they don't trust the voting process because of whatever happens in their own country. So when they come here, they're very suspicious. They don't want to get involved. We have to teach them that, hey, it's okay to come. Your vote does mean something. You know, our slogan is actually – it's in Spanish, it's para prosperar hay que votar, which means to prosper, you must vote. And what we find with Hispanics, just like other immigrants, is they come to this country to prosper. And the voting process is part of that, issue. I'm sorry.
It's part of being involved in it.
Exactly. Exactly. So basically part of the acclimation into the system is you have to go vote. And they should vote.
where would a Hispanic voter get their information? Where do they get their information on who's running for things? I mean, there are a lot of English-speaking news organizations. We hear about them all the time.
Well, the Supervisor of Elections Office, I'm pretty sure Collier's the same way. They have their information in English and Spanish.
Correct.
And depending on the population, like if you go to Dade County, for instance, there's a large Haitian population, so you'll see the information in Creole. So I would imagine depending on the size of the population here, you may see some French, Creole. So it all depends on the population. But I know for a fact that Collier and Lee County has their information in Spanish and English. So that helps.
Jennifer, how long has that been going on in different languages?
In Collier County, it's been going on since the 70s. And that was a federal requirement in the past.
And is that the same in Lee County?
Mm-hmm. I think we were a little later, weren't we?
I'm
not sure.
You were much later.
Yeah.
There were five counties in the state for a while that fell under a requirement for preclearance as well as language requirements. And Collier County, though, and many other counties, more than five, have had to present their any election-related information in Spanish. And that's one of what's considered a covered language under federal law.
So what kind of outreach efforts do Lee or Collier County undertake in order to try to get Hispanic voters involved?
Well, daily we're outreaching the schools that have a lot of Hispanics all the way from middle school to the college level. We have partnered with Rafael on his program to try to help with that situation. But, you know, it's a Hispanic problem, but it's also a Lee County problem, not just Hispanics.
Well, it's an American problem.
That's correct.
You look at voter turnout,
yeah.
It's kind of sometimes miserable.
It's apathy.
Yeah.
Voter apathy.
Well, and we both work hard and we collaborate on education. And, for example, we both attend the naturalization ceremonies. And they're being held now in Lee County. And we have our staff there as well as Lee County staff. And we're helping them register to vote.
But I'm glad you brought that up.
Just as Tommy does, we reach out and attend festivals in different communities. We're doing one in Immokalee soon. But we're always reaching out with staff that set up a table and at any kind of festival where you have both you have Hispanics there as well as others. So we're available, and I reach out to the Hispanic community and ask them to identify leaders in their community that will invite us in. Because as Rafael and I were talking earlier, and as he said, sometimes they're a little hesitant to reach out to us, or if we just walk into one of their events, they're uncomfortable. So I want to be invited in. So we're available.
Yeah, you don't want to – yeah, I understand what you're saying. Are there other, like, nonpartisan groups that are involved in different areas, such as, like, League of Women Voters? What other nonpartisan groups do you see out there partnering?
The League of Women Voters, they are what they call they can register people to vote. They're qualified. I think the Democratic National Party are qualified. The Republican Party's clubs are qualified. So there's a lot of clubs that are – qualified to register people to vote.
How do you become qualified to do that? I'm sorry. How do you become qualified? Like as a group?
Well, I think
they're a third-party voter registration.
Yeah, a third-party voter registration. You got to be apply for that and be approved to be a third-party registration.
And that's through the Division of Elections in Tallahassee. But we also, and I'm sure in Lee County, we're invited to participate on news programs like this, as well as TV programs that broadcast to the Hispanic community. And we all each have Spanish-speaking employees, and we encourage them to participate in that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm thinking about all this, and there's nobody saying don't go vote. There's nobody saying don't go register. But still, we're looking at some numbers that aren't quite as impressive when you look at votes that happen in, for example, in the UK, 80% plus showing up to vote, and in France, 70% plus showing up to vote. And then we're just talking about registration now, but when we get to actual number of people voting, it gets even more dismal. I mean, are people just not hearing?
Well, I will add that last year we had the highest turnout in the state in the general election. 87% of Collier County's voters.
Okay, then I'm feeling a little more proud about my area.
Well, Lee did well too.
Yeah, Lee County had 77% turnout for the presidential election.
That's good.
And you take this last election in UK, that was a really important election. So it was just like a presidential election. So there was a big turnout.
Right.
Now, you guys asked about the midterm election. You're going to be down under 50%, 40 to 50% in the last midterm election.
I don't know. This midterm election might be different, though, because things have been so charged.
Well, we brought up the vote by mail, and that's going to increase the turnout. It's really a trend that's
And it depends on what's on the ballot.
Yeah.
Is there a heated race? Are there things on the ballot that excite the voting community?
It seems like everything's heated right now.
I know. But in a midterm election year, the turnout is usually very low. So hopefully next year, the governor's race, different things on the ballot will get people more excited.
It'll be interesting to see how that turns out. We're talking about voting and voter registration with the supervisors of elections in Lee and Collier County and with the leader of Florida's nonpartisan, the Hispanic Vote. Do you have a question or a comment? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Now, this is kind of a basic question, but I'm pretty sure all three of the people in the room can answer this. How do you register to vote? It's been so long since I did. How hard is it? What do you have to have and where do you go?
Well, right now you can go online and it has a fillable form and you can fill it out and print it, but you have to sign it and mail it, and it gives you the basic questions that you need to have to register the vote. You can come into the office or go to one of our events. There's a list of events that we do all the time, and go to our tables and register to vote.
And that list can be found on your supervisor of election website?
Yeah, calendar of where we're going to be every day is on that.
And we have links to the websites for both Collier and Lee County on our website story about this today. And WGCUnews.org.
I'd like to add, too, that it's federal law that any driver's license agency will register you to vote. So if you go get your driver's license or you have to update your driver's license because you changed your name or you moved, then when you go get your driver's license updated, ask them to update their voter registration information, because that's a good way that we get that update. You know, when people move, they don't think, oh, my, I need to run down to the supervisor of elections office. They just don't think about that. But through our list maintenance also, which we're mandated to do in odd-numbered years, we catch up with some of those updates.
Mm-hmm. And the study that got us talking today is the ERIC study, which goes over not only the number of people who aren't registered, which we've discussed, but it also talks about problematic registrations. And we talked a little bit about people living and possibly being registered in more than one place. But how do deceased people remain on voting rolls? How does that happen?
The Florida Division of Elections receives information from vital statistics, and then they funnel that out to the counties.
Okay, but if somebody is registered to vote in Florida but they pass away in Ohio, do you get that information?
We don't get that information, but the Florida Division of Elections goes out to the Social Security website, and the deceased people in other states is collected and compared to the voter registration roll in Florida, and then they identify that. So if your grandma decides to go back home and live near one of her kids and she's still registered to vote in Florida, that's how we'll find out about it. It may take a few months, but we also will get letters from family members. The voter information card that everyone gets when they register to vote has some information on it about
what to do.
Put the voter's name on it that is deceased and send it back in to us. Yeah. So just
keep that communication open.
Right.
Yeah. So we have it's a daily process because we have a queue coming from the Division of Elections of deaths, felonies. So that list maintenance is continuous. Daily.
Oh, yeah. There's also people that are convicted of a felony lose their right to vote, too. So you're getting updated by that as well.
And I'd like to give a shout out to our clerks of court, because now they give us information from their jury cards. If you get a card and you are invited to be a juror, there's a list of ways that you can be exempt. And if you check one of those and send it back into the clerk's office, he shares that information with us. So if somebody says, I'm not a citizen, just to get out of jury duty, then we start that process of reaching out to them, a due process to determine if indeed they are not a citizen, or if they state that they're a felon or for some other reason they don't feel they're eligible
just
to serve as a juror. Yeah.
So there have been allegations about voter fraud this past election cycle, and there are also reports about attempted hacking into the U.S. Polling databases. According to a statement by VR Systems, which designs technology exclusively for elections, there was an email sent out to their customers using their name saying that it was from VR Systems, and those customers are mainly county election offices. That email had an attachment which was meant to hack into these counties' election databases. Did Collier County, Jennifer, did Collier County get any of those emails?
Yes, we did.
Did anybody click on the attachment?
No, we did not open that. We have a policy in place and our staff is trained that if any email looks at all suspicious, don't open it. So that's how that was discovered. And then we took a screenshot, sent it up to VR. VR is our vendor, and they actually, I know they're Lee County's also.
Did you guys get an email too, Tommy?
We did not.
You didn't?
I think our filters, we never received one.
Yeah, it's just it's hard to know what's going to sneak by,
right.
And these hackers are very crafty.
Yep.
Right, and I just want to add that that was directed to the voter registration roll that in Florida, and I think other states too, the voting system software that creates an election and tabulates results is not connected to the internet. It's a standalone system. And in our county, there are only six people, I'm included in that, that even have access to that room. So it's very well protected. It's standalone, is not connected to the internet.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. But it's good to know because it's something you have to keep wholly separate and keep it secure.
Yeah, because if you call down to my office and you want to have a list of voters, you pay $10 and you get everything but their Social Security number. It's public information.
Yeah. Public information.
So that's really all. If they hacked in, that's all they would have seen.
Is just the names.
Just their information.
The name information, yeah. Not their Social Security number.
Right.
We have a call coming in from Faye in Lehigh Acres. Faye has a question. What would you like to ask?
Yes. I would like to have them address my concern about the elderly people who do not use computers, who do not have computers, who do not know how to use computers. They don't have computer access, and everything you try to do, it says go to this website, go to that website, and that's impossible for, you know, elderly people to do. And we have a lot of people who move into our community who are retired, an even over-retired age, who absolutely don't know what to do and how to register to vote. And what is our chances of getting to register to vote if we don't know how, if we don't have any information as to how to do it other than computers? And also, a lot of elderly people, if you would address the concern, a lot of elderly people are so concerned about this Russian hacking business that they're saying, why bother to vote? You know, my vote's not going to count anyway because somebody's screwed the system and we can't get our voice heard through the ballot box. So if you would address those concerns, and I'll listen to your answer offline. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Faye, for that question. So we have two questions, one of which I'll go ahead and address to Tommy. She mentioned that a lot of older people may not have access to the internet. It's very convenient for people who do navigate the internet frequently and are very comfortable with that. But if somebody's not comfortable using the computer in order to do any registering, what are their other options?
Well, they can call our office. We'll send them a registration to fill out and send back. And or they can come into the office and they'll get assistance in filling in the registration form.
And also they can walk into the DMV.
And if they're
Department of Motor Vehicles.
If they're changing their license, yeah, then they're offered to register to vote when they're there.
And the public libraries have voter registration forms.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's
and,
a walk-in and you
and
just
– other government agencies.
And that's a pen to paper, no clicking and
correct.
Printing.
Right, right.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. And then I wanted to ask a question that she asked about Russian hacking and people – the allegations of Russian hacking and the voting systems being hacked into via computer systems, which we kind of addressed that already with election officials. But I wanted to ask – Raphael, if you ever encounter issues with people that are from other countries, like you mentioned earlier, that have been dictatorships, that people that don't have trust in the system, or they're fearful that their vote doesn't count anyway because it's going to be hacked, as Faye was mentioning on the phone, how do you address those kinds of concerns when they're coming from not only older people who have a mistrust of computers, but also people that are of Hispanic descent that came from other countries that have a distrust in the overall system?
Well, I can tell you that I'm a Cuban American. I was born in Havana, Cuba, and I came to the United States when I was 5 years old. So I'm accustomed to this country. But I know a lot of Hispanics and non-Hispanics that are immigrants that, depending on what country they come from, they're very untrusting of their political system in that country. I can only tell the caller that regardless of whatever's happening in the national stage, the minute you say, I'm not going to vote because of whatever you're hearing out there, then whoever is – if there is such a hacking going on, then they've won because now you're saying, okay, I'm not going to vote. You should never – that's one of the biggest privileges that Americans have is to vote for your elected officials. On the contrary, I would think that if you're hearing rumors of anybody trying to mess with our system – you should be more involved and try to meet elected officials, try to learn the local voting process, try to get involved, go to town hall meetings, meet your elected officials, talk to them. And I like to say that you take every opportunity to make your voice heard. And when I say that, I don't mean stand in a picket line with a sign. You can basically go and talk to – I guarantee you that these individuals here go to events all the time. They advertise that they're going to events. Your school board members, your local mayors, your commissioners, your for example, your Lee Health Board of Directors, they're at events. And they affect your bottom dollar more than the president or the governor does. So as a local resident, I think it's your responsibility to go out there and engage your local elected officials, because you'd be surprised how many times either they agree with your point of view or they may explain why your point of view is not possible, and at least you walk away saying, oh, you know, wow, I can understand why they're not doing that.
Feeling like you've been listened to is kind of a rare commodity. And that happens when you're working in local election type situations and more local boards and school boards. Right. And
the last thing I want to say is that especially with Hispanics or foreigners, is that a lot of times a sense of community like you have in the United States does not exist in other countries. What we have here, where you have your school board, your local mayors and commissioners, does not exist in other countries. The fact that you have access to these elected officials, like the two people here, the two supervisor of elections, it's very rare in other countries that you have access to these individuals, or the fact that even if you voice your opinion, you either get killed or jailed. So,
and these are officials and local officials who will impact. Can possibly impact your tax rate, your property tax rate, or smaller scale things that actually have a pretty big impact.
Absolutely. And the programs that we've partnered up with the Lee County Supervisor of Elections, and we may be doing something with Carly too.
Come on
now,
down.
Now that we met, is basically what we try to engage the Hispanic community, and we try to inform them that, hey, there's more than just voting for the president and his cabinet and voting for the governor and his cabinet. You have those local elections that really affect your bottom line more than sometimes the president and the governor. So we really – it's almost like a local civics class teaching them what to vote for, and not who to vote for, but what's available and what you need to do to vote.
And the impact of the – I don't want to call them smaller votes because they're not less important, but the more local votes.
Yeah, but and they're – listen, they impact your wallet. The different taxing districts in Lee and Collie County are – if you look at the Lee County – and the Carly County Supervisor Elections, and you go down that list, you see all the different fire districts, all the different CCDs, all the different, the hospital districts. All that stuff impacts your bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Let's don't forget mosquito control right now.
Oh, mosquito, that's a big one, too. Mosquito,
right.
I gotta forget those.
That's a big one.
That's a hot
one.
Yeah.
I want to applaud you for talking about us being out in the community. I feel that is a very important part of our job, to be out at meetings and events that are held publicly so that we can answer questions and provide information. I think that we, Tommy and I, have a responsibility to demonstrate what we do so that we build confidence in our office and our staff and the securities that we have in place. One thing, too, I want to state that is that don't forget we have paper ballots in Florida. And so if for some reason there's a problem, we can always go back and tabulate those paper ballots. And I also wanted to add that one of the things that this, quote, hacking topic has created, I think, for us is that it has caused people to lose some confidence in what we do. So it's very important for us to continue to talk about how secure our voting system is, that it is not something connected to the internet.
So if something did happen, for example, there's a vote, you have paper ballots, you have them all in stacks and boxes, they've been tabulated electronically. If it comes to your attention that something has been hacked or something may have been messed with somehow, which has not happened, but if it did in the future, you still have those paper ballots that you
correct.
Can go through and manually count.
That's correct. And we have very secure chain of custody in our offices. We have security plans that we are required to create. And some of that is public record, some of that is not. And we have to file that information with the Florida Division of Elections. So we're not haphazardly conducting an election. We have procedures and standards in place that we must follow.
Tommy, you were going to say something?
Well, the state of Florida has the strictest election laws in the country. And like Jennifer was saying, it's not haphazard. Like a colleague of ours stated in an article recently, you can't hack paper. And we have verifiable paper ballots.
Yeah. And I don't want to go over this alleged hack any more than we need to, but I do want to be clear as to what it was. It was a phishing scam. It was an email phishing scam that targeted different counties, and you didn't click on the link. And if they had gotten that, they would have just gotten everybody's name, the name of all the people that are registered to vote.
That's correct.
So that, yeah. Okay. So, well, that just makes it a little bit more clear because a lot of people don't read past the headlines. So just.
I know. Well, a few years ago, there was a hacking scare and it was into an online training program. But the headline was Elections Act.
Yeah, well, that was a headline a week after I got into office was my website was hacked.
Welcome right. to your new job.
Yeah. Had nothing to do with election research.
And it was about job training. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to leave things there for now, but I want to thank you for putting our minds at ease. Jennifer Edwards with Collier County Supervisor of Elections and Tommy Doyle with Lee County Supervisor of Elections. I would like to thank you both for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Julie.
And also I want to thank Rafael Lopez with the Hispanic Vote for all the work that you do to bring in our Hispanic neighbors into the voting process. Thank you all for being here today. Coming up, we're taking a look at the people working in Florida's fields and the unique guest worker visa program that brings them to the U.S. More on that topic after the break. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.